Friends, we're discussing Likutei Sichos, Volume 17, the first Sikha of the portion of Emor. And the discussion here in the Torah is about the holidays. Torah gives a header. These are the festivals of God that you should celebrate each in its proper time. And then it goes through all the holidays, beginning from Passover throughout the entire calendar, all the way around to Sukkot. However, before it begins with Passover, it interjects with Shabbos, and it states that 6 days shall you work, and the seventh day shall you rest. It's a holy day. And then it continues with the rest of the holidays. Rashi, the classic commentary, quotes from the verse, the word Sheshet Yamim, 6 days, and he explains, why is Shabbos here in the middle of the holidays? Why is Shabbos lumped in? We're talking about the holidays, not Shabbos. And Rashi explains to teach us that one who violates the holidays, it's as serious as violating Shabbos. Conversely, one who observes the holidays, it's as wonderful as one who observes Shabbos. That's the end of the Rashi. Parenthetically, why would one think that the holidays are not on the same level of importance as Shabbos vis-a-vis the violation? Because nominally, the holidays are set up by the calendar, and the calendar was given over to the hands of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, to decide if a month should have 29 or 30 days, whether or not there should be a leap year that year, etc. So therefore, at the end of the day, there's some randomness based on the rabbinic court of the establishment of the holidays, whereas Shabbos is every seventh day. It's just a fact. It's a fact created by nature, by God himself. And therefore, one might put Shabbos on a pedestal in terms of its seriousness. Plus, Shabbos has a higher level of strictness in certain laws. Shabbos, you can't cook or carry, whereas the holidays, you can. And therefore, one might take the holidays lightly. And therefore, the Torah puts Shabbos right in there in the section that really is talking about the holidays to equalize them in terms of their importance. The Rebbe has two questions. Question number one is the choice of Rashi's words for the header of the Rashi. We know that Rashi, before he writes a comment, he always chooses words from the text as the header. It's called the Dibur HaMaschil. And that header is very telling. It's those words that Rashi chooses as the header, which is an indication as to what's really bothering him and why he's commenting in the first place. What's the problem with the text on the pshat, on the literal level, that Rashi needs to comment? So if you and I were writing this Rashi, what would be the header? Rashi's trying to explain why Shabbos is here in the section of the holidays. The header should have been the seventh day is Shabbos, or Shabbos is a holy day, or whatever words in the text that directly discuss Shabbos. Instead, Rashi doesn't do that. He quotes the words 6 days. How is that the message? 6 days? The header should have been Shabbos. Very strong question. If you study Rashi the way the Rebbe does, with precision. And the next question is, why does Rashi choose to do it from the negative and then the positive? This juxtaposition of Shabbos to the holidays is in order to teach us that one who violates the holidays, it's as serious as violating Shabbos. And then he gives the positive. One who observes the holidays, it's as wonderful as observing Shabbos. Why not put the positive first? Not just because it's nice to be positive, but also because the language of the text here is positive. The language of the text is, these are the holidays that you should observe and celebrate and proclaim. Start with the positive, and then if you need, you can follow through with the negative. Why would Rashi begin his statement with that message? That Shabbos is here with the holidays to teach us that the violation of the holidays is akin to Shabbos. And only then does he say the second half, the observance of the holiday is akin to Shabbos. Those are the Rebbe's two questions. Friends, this is a sicha that seems disarmingly simple, but if you read it a few times and you realize it's extremely innovative and creative. The Rebbe comes along and says, you want to know why Rashi chooses the word 6 days as his header? Because that's really what's bothering him in the verse. What's bothering him is not why Shabbos is juxtaposed in the section of the holidays, even though he says that in his commentary, but that question is not such a big problem. It's logical enough to mention Shabbos in the section of the holidays. After all, Shabbos is also a holy day. And there's also reasons to throw Shabbos in when you mention the holidays to show the difference that on Shabbos, all melacha, all work is ruled out, including cooking and carrying, whereas on Yom Tov, cooking and carrying is allowed. So the fact that Shabbos is lumped in here is not such a big problem. And Rashi would not have commented at all if that was the only issue. What bothers Rashi is something else. The introduction. not the words Shabbos, you should rest and it's holy, but 6 days you may do work. Why is that here? Why is that here? Why is it important to tell me that now? We know that already from many times earlier in Torah, including the Ten Commandments itself, when Shabbos was first introduced. 6 days you should do work and the seventh day you should rest. Why is it repeated? That whole refrain, 6 days of work is allowable, is totally unnecessary. Ah, you're going to say, but why is it written in the Ten Commandments? And in earlier times when Shabbos is first introduced, over there it's needed, and over there it flows well with the context, because when Shabbos is first introduced in the other places, the Torah introduces it as mimicking, as mirroring God's behavior. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We too work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. So when the conversation is squarely about Shabbos, in those initial areas when places in Torah, when it's first introduced, in the book of Exodus, what have you, it makes sense for the Torah to give the introduction about the 6 days. But here in the book of Leviticus, we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about the holidays. We're just throwing in Shabbos just to teach us something about how important the holidays are. All you need is that one line. Keep Shabbos holy. Why the introduction about the 6 days? That's what's bothering Rashi. And that's why Rashi uses those words as his header, because Rashi's principle is that his header, the words that he chooses from the text to be the header of his commentary, is a clear indication of what was really bothering him about the text. He's not bothered by the fact so much why Shabbos is here. He's bothered by the seemingly needless repetition of the fact that 6 days work is permissible. That's why that's the header. So why are the 6 days there? What's the point? So the Rebbe explains, Rashi is teaching us something phenomenal. By the Torah mentioning that phrase, Sheshet Yamim, 6 days you could do work, the Torah is going to be teaching us the great importance of not violating the holidays as equally important to not violating Shabbos. How? How does the fact that you tell us that seemingly needless introduction, that Sheshet Yamim, that 6 days work is allowable, how does that teach me that the holidays are equally important and strict in terms of not violating them to Shabbos? What's the connection? So the Rebbe says the language of the text is Sheshet Yamim, not Shisha Yamim. There's a difference. Shisha Yamim means 6 days. Sheshet Yamim means the 6 day period. And as pointed out by Rashi numerous times in Torah, when it says this phrase, by 6 days or by 7 days, when we add that extra letter taf at the end, and it comes from Shisha Yamim, 6 days, to Sheshet Yamim, the 6 day period, it's teaching us here that there's a concept in time, a unit in time called the 6 days. It's not just saying for 6 days you can work. It's saying during the unit of time referred to now by the name 6 days, that's when you can do work. The Torah, explains the Rebbe, is introducing to us that weekdays are not just a collection of 6 days. They are actually one unit in time referred to as the 6 day period, or another way to phrase it, there one unit in time called weekday. What did we accomplish by doing this? We accomplished that the Torah is telling us that the entire time for a Jew is divided into two units. Sheshet Yamim, 6 day period, translation, time when one can work, let's call it work days, and rest days. Work days is any time when it's not a holiday or Shabbos, to the exclusion of all other time which work is proscribed. What is accomplished by this is that it makes a difference of what's the default approach of a Jew to life vis-a-vis the permissibility of work. Normally you ask somebody new, are you allowed to do work or are you not allowed to do work as a Jew? So the normal approach is, well, hell, the default is I can work whenever I want to. However, if Shabbos comes, I have to stop. If a holiday comes, I have to stop. But the default position is I can work whenever I want. And the Torah introducing the permissibility of work in Sheshet Yamim, in something called a unit of weekday, the Torah is saying just the opposite. No, the default is you can only work on a time that's defined as work time, work days. Let's call it weekdays. to the exclusion of all other time when work is prohibited. So it reverses the default. Not the way we would normally think the default is work whenever you want, except when I tell you to stop. Don't work unless I tell you you can work. And when could you work? On work days. It's total opposite of the way we've been approached the whole concept of work and rest vis-a-vis Torah and Jewish life. And what is accomplished by introducing this idea that the 6 days or Sheshet Yamim are really represent the concept of work days as a unit in time when Torah permits work to the exclusion of all other time. We've now created a great equalization in terms of the stringency of the Shabbos and the holidays in terms of the prohibition of work. Because think of it, if it would be the other way around, the default mode is God says to a Jew, work whenever you want. It's your life, knock yourself out, work. But when I tell you it's Shabbos, you gotta stop. And by the way, when I tell you it's Yom Tov, you gotta stop. So the prohibition of Shabbos, prohibition of Yom Tov are two separate prohibitions. Who's to say they're both on the same level? Not all mitzvahs are on the same level of prohibition, necessarily. However, if, since it's the reverse, says the Rebbe, the Torah introduced the concept of Shabbos by first saying, Sheshet Yamim, that work is, that the default mode is, no, you're created by God, you're living in God's world, you're not here to do what you want, you're in his home, you're his guest. So no, don't do any work, unless I tell you. And I'm telling you that on weekdays, you can do work to the exclusion of all else. So every other day that's not a weekday, Shabbos and all holidays, the prohibition is now equal because none of them are weekdays. So the prohibition of working on Shabbos and on festivals are both on the same level in that sense because they're both born out of the fact that they're not weekdays. They're not what we call in this sikha, Sheshet Yamim, the six-day period, which doesn't only mean the six-day period. It means the weekday period. It's brilliant. So by the Rebbe changing the default, explaining that Rashi is telling us that, that work is not always allowed, but except forbidden certain days. No, work is forbidden. You belong to God in this life, except when God allows it, and he allowed it on something called a weekday, to the exclusion of all else. So all else now becomes on the same level of strictness. Shabbos, Yom Tov, they're on the same level. Hence, we understand why the header is Sheshet Yamim, because that's what's bothering Rashi. And we understand why the fact that Torah says Sheshet Yamim introduces this concept of the weekday as a unit in time when work is permitted to the exclusion of all else. That equalizes the level of stringency of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and hence Rashi begins with the negative, because that's what you learn from it. On weekdays, can you work? No other day can you work. Meaning to say, if you do work, God forbid, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you violate the holiday. It's as if you violated Shabbos. So you have to start with the negative. That's how the message is given over. And then by extension, Rashi flips it to the other side. That by extension, if you celebrate the holidays and observe them, it's as great and wonderful as observing Shabbos. Friends, it's mind-blowing how the Rebbe takes a simple Rashi and a simple header and opens up a whole new insight for us, a whole new approach to Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's not that Shabbos and Yom Tov you can't work and every other day do what you want, knock yourself out, you're your own boss. No. The default mode is that he can't do what he wants. He's Hashem's. He's God's being. He's in God's presence. But God allowed him something called a weekday. And that's when he's allowed to do work, to the exclusion of all else. And that's how the Rebbe takes the spiritual lesson from this in terms of our service of God, which the Rebbe often says that Rashi includes what's called the wine of Torah, a message that's more spiritual and subtle and mystical, embedded even in the words of Rashi. The Rebbe says that this Rashi then teaches us how to look at life. Again, the normal way that most people look at life, even an observant Jew, I'm here to do what I want to do. I'm here to make a living. I'm here to worry about myself. I'm essentially on my own. If I don't take care of me, no one will. But as an observant Jew, certain times God says, no, you can't work. You got to go to shul, Shabbos. You can't work today. It's Pesach. It's a holiday. So God stops me from my natural mode of existence. Says the Rebbe, are you kidding? You're a Yid. You have a neshama. You're an extension of God. You're living in God's world. You're in the presence of God. Could you imagine standing in the presence of a king who takes care of all your needs, who has no shortage of everything and anything, of all the greatest treasures, and you're busy worrying about making a living? And this king is your father in heaven who cares about you and knows about you, and you're going to sit and worry about making a living? That's an abomination. It's terrible. The default of a Yid is you are born in God's embrace. You belong to God. Don't worry about making a living. Hashem's taking care. Your life isn't about survival. You're not part of the food chain. You're not just another mammal. You're not even just another human being. You're not just here to worry about you. God worries about you. You're here to be in the presence of Hashem and to live as a neshama, as a soul, which is an extension of the divine light. That's your default mode. Ideally, you shouldn't have to work. Just like the first generation of our people in the 40 years of the desert. Why work? I have to worry about making a living? Why, did God retire? All I got to do is be close to Hashem and spend my time talking to him, listening to him, basking in the glory of the king. Work? What am I, some kind of person independent of the true light of Hashem? However, so the default mode is, no work. There's no need to make natural means. Default mode is Hashem takes care. We're his people. We're his extension. The world is his. However, comes along God and says, I know Yidela, I know. It's nice. And in essence, it's true that I'm here and I'm taking care of you. However, because of various reasons of free choice and what have you, and because of God's pleasure of our service of God within the human body, I put you in a body, and that body for now is in exile, living in a natural environment. And for that reason, I need you to go ahead and make a vessel for my blessings. Not because you're really on your own and I'm not taking care of you, but that's my system. Free choice, what have you. I need you to live in the world and by the rules of the world. Go out and make a living. Go out and follow the rules of the land. Be a person, be a human being. Don't just be a soul. You need to live in the world. And not because, again, because otherwise, because God retired, God forbid. No, Hashem is watching you. He says, every second I'm taking care of you. In fact, I'm blessing the work of your hands through the vessel. But I need you to make the vessel. Because for now, till Mashiach comes, you're living in exile. You're living very much a bodily existence for much of the time. And therefore, that's my system. Go to work. Albeit go to work with total faith that I'm the one that's blessing the work of your hands. You're just giving me vessels that I'm filling and all of this good stuff that Torah and Chassidus teaches us. It's true. But you got to go out and do it. But again, that's not the default mode. The default approach is Hashem's taking care of everything. But Hashem commands me on certain days, which happen to be the majority of days, on weekdays, I want you, since you're on weekdays, you're not in the presence of Hashem and you don't feel so much your soul. You're more bodily based and you're more exile based. I'm giving you a mitzvah to go and work. I'm giving you a mitzvah. Because if I didn't give you that mitzvah, your default mode would be to sit and study Torah and sing songs of praise to Hashem all day long. That's the default mode of a Yid by virtue of his soul. But God says, no, 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 take it easy. It's not Shabbos and it's not Yom Tov. It's weekday. Go out and live as if you're just a human being limited to the exile's rules and systems, even the laws of the land, and do what you got to do to make a living. In the knowledge that it's just a vessel for my blessings, yes, but do it. But that's not the default mode. That's almost the exception to the rule, even though in quantity time it's more. But the rule, the default mode for a Yid is that when it's not weekday, all other time, the Yid says, oh, when it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, when God didn't command me to go to work, what am I doing? Now I can be the real me, the neshama. the part of me which is the real yid. Now I can sit and study Torah and say prayers and celebrate God's blessings together with my family, with the festive meals and sing. But that's not the exception to the rule. That's the default. That's my essence. Because that's when I'm living on my soul level, which is the panemius, which is the real innards of a Jew. And then, although by the weekdays, I go back and do what I have to do as a yid on the weekdays. So even though practically speaking, you still have weekday and Shabbos, days when you do the work and make vessels for your blessings, and days when you don't, you just rely on Hashem and you know everything is okay. However, the approach is totally different. Where normally the approach is that I'm totally on my own and I'm going to work and sweat and worry, but Shabbos, Nebuch, I have to stop because God said no. Or it's the total opposite. I don't have to do anything. Hashem is in charge. I'm all A-okay. I'm in God's hand. It's perfect. However, God commanded me that on weekdays, I should go out and make a vessel for his blessing, and he's going to take care of me through that vessel. It's a whole different life. And this message is embedded in this Rashi. And the Rebbe concludes the Sicha by saying that by living life in this fashion, of the primacy, of the holding our soul as the primary part of us, and therefore celebrating Shabbos and Yom Tov as the real connection to Hashem, while at the same time during the weekdays, then we are confined to the body's rules of exile, of following the rules of nature and making a vessel and the laws of the land, etc. Over time, cumulatively, we ultimately bring Mashiach. We're ready for it. We're waiting for it. And we're collectively going to hopefully see it very, very soon. And what happens when Mashiach comes? The body becomes souled, S-O-U-L-E-D. The body of each of us will become infused with our soul, just like the whole world become infused with God, which is the soul of the world. And at that time, what happens when Mashiach comes? What does Rambam say in the last lines? The whole world will stop to work. When Mashiach comes, we're still going to be human beings in bodies, and no one's going to work. The whole world, not only Jews, even the Gentiles, Lahavdil, are just going to spend all that time in the knowledge of God because there's nothing else to do. There's plenty. There's studies now that show that we're coming to that time soon where there'll be so much plenty for the whole world, which is another sign that Mashiach is right at the door and ready to come. And that's the time when all we'll do is be busy with the knowledge of God and just bask in God's glory, which is because that's really who we are. That's really what life is. That's really what the Jewish people is. By extension, that's really what the whole world is. It's just God's home. It's not just a food chain where you got to do this in order to survive. And Shabbos and soul and Yiddishkeit and service of Hashem is a sidebar in order to get reward of something. The whole existence of our lives, the whole existence of the whole creation is God's home. The fact that you have to work is a big question mark. It's a symptom of exile. It's a symptom of not yet being infused with the deepest reality of who we are and who the world is. And therefore, even before that great moment comes, may it come now, we already can begin to live this way, because even during the weekday, when we recognize that the weekday is actually tearing us away from our deeper self, we do that work, we make that vessel, but we do it with total faith that it's all Hashem's blessings, and we wait to be our true selves for the Shabbos and the Yom Tov each time they come around. And the same thing is each and every day. We have a glimpse of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Rebbe mentions it in the Sikh. Even a normal weekday, I wake up in the morning, I say Modeh Ani, I thank God for my life. And I look at it the day ahead. I have two ways to look at that day. Pre-sicha and post-sicha. Pre-sicha, I woke up. It's a Tuesday morning, whatever it is. What's my day? It's another day of hard work and survival. Now, and yeah, I'll do a few mitzvahs here and there. I got a daven, I got a few mitzvahs. But basically, that's what my weekday is. It's only a Tuesday. Post-sicha, you wake up in the morning, you say, wait a minute. I'm a yid. My essence is my soul. God gave me another day. It's a day to breathe in Hashem. It's a day of Torah and mitzvahs. It's a day for glimpses of non-weekday right in the Tuesday, the morning prayer, the afternoon prayer, the evening prayer, there's times of Torah sessions that each of us is supposed to have each day, during which time there's no telephone, there's nothing except Hashem, you're in the presence of Hashem, and work is not even on our minds. It's like standing in front of the king and being busy with something else. It's an abominable, terrible. Even on a weekday, that becomes my focus. I believe the Rebbe wants from this sicha, albeit the quantity of time on a regular weekday. I'm going to spend most of my time making a vessel because God gave me that mitzvah. I got to go out and do it because I'm still living in Golos, but temporarily, but ultimately my attitude, even now, is that my real me and my neshama, which is obviously much more important than the body, is all about Hashem and all about Torah study and mitzvahs. And therefore, that becomes my default mode and my default passion. And when I look forward to opportunities when I can study Torah and do mitzvahs.